Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we're here at Roberta's Pizza. It is a lovely, sunny Monday, Martin Luther King Day, so let's celebrate. I think most people have a day off. Yeah. You guys are here. Today, I should introduce our guests. We have the future of food blogging, which is now vlogging, I think. That's what everyone's saying. Well, that's what I'm saying right now. But I mean, video is a big thing over taking over the internet, it seems. And video components to existing websites are becoming more and more status quo. And these guys are really innovating their own video strictly sites. I also want to mention that our sponsor today is Whole Foods Market. Thank you so much. Okay. So these great guests today are Kathleen Grace. And you have had numerous video TV shows.
Yeah.
But they're not really on TV, but we call them TV because they...
They're scripted style.
Exactly. They follow the episodic style of a drama or comedy series. Yeah. You've done The Berg.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Thank you.
That went on for a couple years, right?
Yeah, we did it from June 2006 till more recently, they shot Tom Woodley, who wrote it and produced and created it with me, shot an episode this past Christmas. We try to shoot one episode a year, generally.
Okay.
And so it still kind of goes on. And then we did a series called The All for Knots. And now I'm working on HungryNation.tv as part of my job at Next New Networks, which is a new media startup devoted entirely to web video.
Awesome. And one of the shows is actually created by you and Rebecca Lando, who's our other guest. Thanks so much for being here today.
No problem.
Class foodie. So that was your pilot. You guys both conceptualized together.
Yeah, Rebecca came to me and was like, I want to make a cooking show. And I was like, okay, let's make a cooking show. Yeah. My sister's a chef, and my sister-in-law works for the state, actually. In the green market. She's like a liaison between the state and the city for all the green market stuff. So she knew I was really into food and also liked making video. So we got together and she came up with the concept and, you know.
And Rebecca, how did you find Kathleen?
My boyfriend, Kit, who shoots Working Class Foodies, had started working with Kathy on The All for Knots.
On The All for Knots. Right. And then he did a little work on The Berg with us.
Yeah.
And we really liked working together, and he introduced me to Rebecca, and we really liked drinking together.
Yeah. Which is actually a really good way to make business friendships.
So. You should have a show about that. Just, you know.
Drinking. We should. We have a club.
Yeah, we do have a club.
I know, and I've missed every meeting so far.
There's only been two meetings of our club.
It sounded like an awesome club.
It's a good club.
I'd love to be part of it.
Yeah.
Beer enthusiasts.
Beer enthusiast ladies. Yeah. Ladies who drink good beer.
Yeah.
So. Why just ladies? How come?
Because I think it's rare to find women who are really into beer.
Oh, that's
And I also have like really amazing, interesting women friends. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they should all hang out without dudes.
Yeah.
I think this is partially because I went to all girls school in high school and I missed having like a single sex experience in my life.
Yeah.
It really shaped me as
like
a person.
Women's auxiliary for the new generation.
Beer. Yeah.
It's kind of fun. But yeah, but like anti-conform or, you know, traditional roles, which is beer, which you don't find women enjoying or being as geeky about.
Exactly. Women are geeky about wine, I guess.
But the fun thing is, like, I don't know, I think you're right. We have, I think, a lot of friends who are women who love beer and would rather geek out about beer than almost, well, maybe not almost anything else, but rather than
tea.
Wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Olive oil.
Yeah.
We have a girls who geek out over olive oil club. That'd be kind of fun. G-G-O-O.
Mostly it's an excuse for us to go to different places around the city and drink beer and try different taps and casks and stuff like that.
Okay.
Order different
stuff.
Do you
find this is a good refuge from your maybe domestic situations? Because I think that was originally one of the goals of having a women's club, like women's auxiliary or women's club at the church, was to maybe talk about your marriages.
A little bit. There was a little relationship and dating talk last time we met. My friend Beth works at Murray's Cheese, and she was setting up a singles night last week on the 15th.
At Murray's Cheese?
At Murray's Cheese. And she was like, there are too many girls. Where are all the single guys? She was trying to get us to get our guy friends to sign up to go to it. She's like, you can't come, but send all your single male friends. So we talked a little bit about that. I also think it's just nice to hang out and not have an agenda. You know, I think a lot of women in New York, especially who are single or even dating, go out with like, I'm going to go do this thing and meet someone.
Or let's go meet somebody together.
Yeah. Right. Whereas this is literally like, come if you want to come. If you don't come, no big deal.
But this
is what
we're
doing. And this is what we're doing. And it's once a month and there's no pressure. There's no like.
And it's been good motivation to kind of actually go out and do things. Because I don't know. I mean, I'm always so busy that like my social life always kind of falls to the wayside. So, you know. Having this and knowing that, like, all right, well, next Sunday at, you know, whatever time at whatever bar, I'm going to go and drink some beer with some girls.
We might expand to co-ed. I already got my first email from a male friend of mine being like, I want to come.
I think there's something valuable in that, especially if you're going to talk about your boyfriends and whatnot. It's like a knitting circle, right?
It is a little knitting with
a little
no
more
knitting.
Punk, knitting with beer.
Yeah. Knitting with beer. We might, someone might come who likes to crochet or knit.
Take lessons.
We gotta recruit some more women who like beer.
I know. I'm trying to get more people to come. Yeah. It'll be fun. Maybe we can get it like at a special, go to the same bar every month or something.
Yeah.
Or you could move it into somebody's house. We could get some growlers.
That's true.
That'd be cool.
That'd be a nice party.
That would let us expand. Right now I'm enjoying going, like we went to DBA in Williamsburg the first time, which I'd never been to the Williamsburg location. And then this last one went to Blind Tiger Ale House, which is one of my favorite places to go.
Yeah, just hit up every best beer bar in Village Voice list or something.
Next month is the Upper West Side. I think we decided we'd go to this place on the Upper West Side.
Oh, this is fun. Okay.
So, which I never go to the Upper West Side except maybe 4 times a year.
Yeah. I don't think I've been there in quite a while. Wait, I can't bike there? Too far.
Interested.
Yeah. So, what made you start Hungry Nation? You mentioned you have
my sister's a chef, and I think that the Food Network is great. I mean, they do amazing things on the Food Network, but there was a lot of, in my opinion, a lack of voice for this kind of younger food generation.
Younger food, heard of Food 2?
They're done. Apparently. Oh. That's what I hear. So that they're no longer
I'm
doing
confused
food
about
too.
That myself. So.
I don't know. Yeah. It seems like more of a platform for the Food Network bigger stars and stuff.
Like a way to just
less of the like. Because there were some cool, like Amateur Gourmet was in there, but it's still there. I mean, it's the web. Nothing ever really gets canceled.
Right.
Because it never goes away. It's not like a TV show.
Gotcha.
Sort of stagnates.
So it just kind of stagnates. It doesn't seem like they've posted new episodes lately. But maybe it's still going on, or they're refreshing or adding different things.
But that was after you started Hungry Nation anyway. So you started this as a younger generation. Also, it was online only, unlike the Food Network. You don't have to have a TV, which I don't know about you guys. I didn't have a TV for a while. I just don't bother.
I haven't had a TV in 4 years.
Amazing.
I don't watch TV on TV. I watch it on Hulu and Boxy, and I piece it together, and I steal some of it. But mostly I between Netflix streaming and Hulu, I'm completely satisfied. I don't need, and I don't watch a ton of TV. I just watch what I like.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you think are some of the advantages of having an only online show?
Well, I think there's a bigger, a much, and this is the most amazing thing I think that I didn't expect with working class foodies is mm-hmm. the amazing community that's developed around it.
Oh, like comments.
Yeah. And people saying...
So
you get a lot of passion from the viewers and they want to connect. And that's kind of a nice thing about the web is that it gives people the chance to connect more than just turning on something and watching it and then going away again. They actually get to sort of interact with the host a little bit, you know, because we can respond to their comments. They can throw out suggestions and they really... There's a nice community feel to it.
Yeah. And was that an expected consequence or was that totally unexpected?
I think we expected it a little bit. Mm-hmm. One thing that we didn't expect was... So one big part of the concept that Rebecca and I had was that they would fuck up.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't make the perfect recipe.
Because we're not chefs.
Because they're not... Like, Rebecca's not a chef. She just loves cooking.
And so people are like, you didn't do that right?
Yeah, but they're like also it. Like, I don't do that right either. Oh, well, here's a better way you can improve your knife skills.
So there's a troubleshooting commentary going on.
They feel much more connected, I think, to Rebecca and Max because of it. And
that's why I think it was kind of like a food blog where you see a lot of that kind of things going on.
And people like that our kitchen is kind of old and rustic and like, you know, that we don't have, you know, just a full set of gorgeous Le Creuset pots or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the concept of your show, obviously. And I think working class foodies, it couldn't be a better title. I mean, we're all working class.
It took us forever to find that title.
People take the working class part really seriously, though.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you went to college. You're not working class. And I'm like, no, but the idea is that we're showing you recipes and food you can eat locally and seasonally on this kind of budget. You don't have to have a lot of money to eat well.
Yeah.
Basically. Or to cook it.
Right.
Or to even spare just be time able to cook it. Yeah. Within your 9-to-5 job.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
So that's kind of what the show is aiming for.
Yeah. But people take themselves very seriously on the internet. You know. Mm-hmm. The funnier comments are the one they get when they get angry at how they treat their knives. I think that's funny.
I got one such.
I thought that was awesome.
I think it's hilarious. People are so serious. You're like, really? Okay.
I didn't even know about that, Rebecca. So I was on an episode and I couldn't find a can opener. And we were just kind of like, oh, what do we do? Oh, let's pound a knife into the top of
Max's
the can.
It was Max's idea. It wasn't even your idea. Like, you know, just like, the blame was all on Max.
That's true. It worked. Who cares? We got the tomatoes out of the can. It worked.
And nobody got hurt.
Yes. True.
It's important.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
But then you were like, some people were like mad about it. I was like, I don't care.
We're like, that's no way to treat your knife. And he's like, well, I'm using it like a knife.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the other thing that's been really cool about it is, you know, making stuff for the web, you find that like 90% of the comments are like, gay, lame, first. Well, and working class foodies has none of that.
Right.
None of it.
For better or for worse, I feel like working class foodies is kind of like a live action food blog where you go over the recipes.
Yeah.
You have cool personalities on the show that you like to feature, which is great. But it is very much like the recipe comes alive instead of writing about it.
Yeah.
Which adds another dimension, a helpful dimension.
It's cool. People can see how to do it.
And for me, I like that because I tried to have just like a straight food blog for years and I would always be so bad about, you know, I would cook and then after cleaning up I'd be too tired to go and write about it and I'm like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And then a week later I'm like, I don't even remember what was so great about that dish. So it's really nice, like now it's all preserved on video.
Cool. It's good that Kit's here to film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, this will be on Working Class Foodies at another time. We're just going to take a short break. I have the Nina Simone song that she dedicated to Martin Luther King that we're going to play really quickly, and then we'll be right back. Thanks.
Actually, I'm too tired to do, but as Faye Dunaway, I think it was, she said when Bonnie and Clyde came out and all that, she said she tried to give people what they wanted. That's a mistake, really. I know. But you can't do it, but only after you use up everything you got trying to give everybody what they want. But I will learn my lesson soon, and then you will buy more records, right? Because you won't see me. Let's see what we can do with this lovely, lovely thing that goes past all racial conflict and all kinds of conflicts. It is a reflective tune. And sometime in your life, you will have occasion to say, what is this thing called time? You know, what is that? The clock, you go to work by the clock, you get your martini in the afternoon by the clock, and your coffee by the clock, and you have to get on the plane at a certain time and arrive at a certain time. And it goes on, on, on. And time is a dictator, as we know it. Where does it go? What does it do? Most of all, is it alive? Is it a thing that we cannot touch, and is it alive? And then one day you look in the mirror, you're old, and you say, where did the time go? We leave you with that one. Across the morning sky, all the birds are
Hi, this is Kathy Irway, your host of Let's Eat In. We're back, and this is Heritage Radio Network, brought to you today by Whole Foods Market. You can also call in if you'd like to talk with Kathleen and Rebecca and me about food and cooking and dating, which we're going to get into a little bit more right about now. The number is 718-497-2128. 718-497-2128. Okay, so I wanted to talk to you, Rebecca, because your show, Working Class Foodies, is about you and Max, your brother, right. Both working class foodies. And I think that's just such a warm conceit, you know, brother and sister who enjoy cooking with friends, with family. And was that, how did you guys come up with that? Did you always cook when you were kids together?
Yeah, we always enjoyed, it was like, When we were younger, we would fight about everything, except in the kitchen was like the one place we kind of got along, or at least where our fighting was kind of validated. And then it was actually Kathleen's idea for it to be me and my brother, because she was just like, well, this
genius
is...
producer.
Yeah, exactly. I gotcha. Totally genius. She was just like, well, wait, you can cook, your brother can cook. Why aren't you two idiots doing the show together?
Yeah, you have a natural chemistry. You're not two actors. Yeah, randomly.
So, yeah. I mean, he's great on camera. He studied acting in college, so he is, like, not awkward in front of the camera like I can be. And it just works really well because we have very different ideas in the kitchen. So, you know, on the episodes, like, we're actually hashing things out. We're not faking it. And the results, you know, when the results work out, it's always because we decided to, you know, either one of us decided to try the other's idea or, you know, just we just finally decided to agree on something. For a change, which is rare.
And, you know, I think that fighting over food is just such a natural exchange that people have with their close people, you know, loved ones. Do you guys ever cook with friends, family, and special occasions on dates? Is that something that you might do on Working Class Foodies, a date meal?
Yeah, actually.
A date meal.
Yeah, we are. What we're doing for Valentine's Day, we're going to have this woman, Francine Segan, who is an Italian food historian, and she's going to come and show us some chocolate aphrodisiac foods to make for Valentine's Day.
Wait, everything has chocolate and some other aphrodisiacs? Or
I think
she
so.
Just
yeah.
her idea of chocolate.
There was something about deer antlers, which I don't think we're going to get into the deer antlers, but there was like she's going to make a savory aphrodisiac chocolate dish and a sweet savory or sweet aphrodisiac dish. So
excellent. Yeah. And Francine Segan, did she write a book? Am I missing?
I can't remember her book's name. This is terrible. Okay.
Yeah, she does have a book. I don't remember the title either, but it's probably on her website, francinesegan.com.
Yeah.
I got to watch this episode. When's it going to air?
The week before Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Oh,
so I guess the 7th or 8th. Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming up really soon, actually.
Yeah.
January is going by very quickly.
It really is.
Cool.
Yeah, so that should be good. And then I think we should do one that's like a full meal that you can cook at home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I cook with my roommates a lot, actually.
And one of your roommates is vegetarian, right?
And one of my roommates is vegetarian. She cooks and I cook. I basically am vegetarian at home. And then when I go out, I eat everything I want.
How many roommates do you have?
I have two roommates. I have a girl roommate and a guy roommate. one, the girl is a vegetarian and the guy is very much not a vegetarian. He lives on grilled
and you're
chicken.
Like stuck in the middle of it.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's not a big deal. She's very laid back. Very, yeah. Like, the most laid back vegetarian I've ever encountered.
Will she ever eat meat? Do you guys cook family style meals together and she just picks away at the meat or?
Usually what happens is she'll cook and he'll add meat to his.
Okay.
That's because I kind of swing vegetarian. Like he and I made a pizza the other night, which is my new, I stole this from Rebecca and Kit, going and buying pizza dough from a local pizza place and then making pizza. We made like a green pizza with arugula and broccoli and pesto.
Green pizza.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it was really good. Really good.
Mash up the broccoli and arugula and into a pesto?
No, the pesto. We had like a separate pesto that you put as like the sauce. Mm-hmm. And then this is from a blog I read. And then
what blog?
Nutritionista. It's this like Tumblr blog where she does like some of her stuff is like, I'm like, that's way too healthy and not fun. But this looked really good.
Yeah.
And so we made it, and then we put chicken sausage on
his side. What's not fun
about
being healthy?
So we put chicken sausage on his side of the pizza. And
that's always
like that.
Pizza's a democratic thing. You can put stuff on one side.
Yeah.
On one third.
Yeah.
On one slice, you know.
And it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's, like, active. That's my big thing about eating on dates. Or just dates in general.
Exactly.
Doing an activity is way better than just like going to a movie.
Yeah, especially when you have something as quick to cook as pizza.
Or like tacos are good.
Tacos
although
are
messy.
Good.
Yeah.
Messy.
I think messy.
But that's okay. If you can get messy on a date with somebody then, and it's still a successful date, then I think it's
then
probably.
You're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I find that said quite a lot more than you'd think because the classic, you know, cliche of dating and eating is very genteel. You're in a restaurant, you're very, it's a little more formal and fussy.
Yeah.
And you gotta, you know, wipe your, you certainly don't want to order the lobster and get it all over you and have to wear a bib.
Right.
But on the other hand, people are saying that the funnest things you eat on a date are messy.
Yeah. It makes you relax. Messy. You can't, like, be weird.
I think
it.
This is a very interesting disparity.
You know.
So I love to ask people, what would you cook on a date meal? Would it be this pizza?
Maybe pizza. I don't know.
It's a good one for an
depends if I was trying to impress the person.
Yeah.
If I was trying to impress them,
so
I
you would try to not impress certain people.
Is that, like, if I felt like I like, had to.
How much do I like this person? I'm going to just
boil some pasta.
Cereal. Yeah. you toned down the impress. That's awesome. Okay, so yeah.
The tacos, probably, I think, because I'm from Texas, and that's like, you can talk about that.
Would you do the soft, like,
corn
with a double layer of the corn tortilla? Yeah. Ooh, what kind of filling?
I would probably try to do something with pork because it's delicious.
Shredded pork.
Yeah,
nice.
Shredded pork. Pulled pork would be good.
That would be good.
That'd be delicious.
I might do like a very simple roast chicken because it's something that's easy, so I don't have to spend too much time like thinking about it in advance. Always comes out delicious. And I don't know, I feel like a good roast chicken is kind of, can be something you can kind of bond over because it's kind of like rich and succulent.
Yeah.
And it's also very, it's uncomplicated and it's unfussy.
Yeah, and it gives you time to actually like talk to the person a bit. But that would be more like, comforting. I mean, I like tacos. Tacos is a good idea if you're going to have it more like an interactive cooking thing.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
Pizza would be easier.
Pizza would be fun too.
Yeah. Because then you could pick different cheeses and toppings and stuff.
Yeah.
And wine goes, there's more natural drink. Tacos, it's like, do we make margaritas?
No, you just
and then suddenly you drink way too much tequila.
You just gotta have beer.
Or you get a beer.
Stick with beer.
What to serve with the roast chicken then? Wine?
Wine or, honestly, I like a really good Belgian, like, farmhouse ale with chicken. I don't know.
That sounds amazing, actually.
Yeah.
I want that right now.
I know. We'll have a date.
We'll have a date. It'll be awesome.
Some roasted potatoes.
So Valentine's Day, is that do you have any plans in store? I know you're putting up a video of this woman's aphrodisiac chocolate dishes.
I don't have any plans.
Kit?
No. What?
What about you?
I'd don't have any plans for Valentine's Day. I'm not dating anyone, so I don't, at this point, unless I were to go on some date between now and then.
Yeah, there's so many singles events, though. I feel like there's Valentine's Day is almost a better day for the angry, angsty singles, because, like, anti-Valentine's Day parties coming out of your ears.
I think that sounds so negative, though. I'd rather just go and drink somewhere and have fun with my friends.
Instead of being, like, instead of being anti-something. Like,
oh, I'm so alone. It's okay.
Cool. And this woman's aphrodisiac chocolates, that's going to be on the 15th, right?
So,
sorry.
The 7th, 7th or 8th.
Do you have any idea what the
She said she's
all right,
so
are?
I think the savory one is going to be a chocolate pasta. Which sounds really interesting. And the
You got to be kidding me.
No.
Like, so that's a great idea.
I think you just put I mean, I don't know because I don't know what the recipe is yet, but I think you put
cocoa
powder
in the flour.
Yeah,
and
that
eggs.
Would make sense, right?
Yeah.
And you'd have to put sugar in it, or else it's just going to taste like bitter.
Right, so you probably sweeten it just a little bit.
Or you could just sweeten the sauce that's being served in.
I don't know, she said it was a savory chocolate pasta dish, so I'm pretty excited to see what.
Or you could just make regular pasta and do a chocolatey sauce. Maybe that's what she's doing.
Maybe that too.
But I do like the idea of the chocolate in the pasta.
That's what I was thinking, because, I mean, I've made my own pasta before, and you could definitely do that.
Yeah.
So...
That might be fun.
You could put anything you want in that pasta.
Yeah.
I don't know about sugar, though.
You know what, pasta is actually... Homemade pasta is a good date thing, too. So you make it with somebody, you roll it out. Yeah. Ravioli. Like
that's good.
Oh, you're going to... Okay.
It's really active, too.
Yeah.
Definitely is active. And you have to have, like, the crank, though. No?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
you
but
could
not,
do the hand shapes.
It depends on what kind of pasta you're making, I think, sometimes. Gnocchi you can make... without having any special equipment.
Yeah.
Super easy.
Do we call that pasta too? I guess we can call gnocchi pasta.
It's technically,
okay.
I guess. Technically it's dumpling, pasta. I guess, but
well, potato,
I mean, you would eat it like you would eat a pasta, right? You cover it in sauce.
And, yeah.
But the crank things aren't expensive. I think we got one for like $45.
Yeah, I ordered mine on eBay for like $10.
Yeah, okay. Well, see, there you go. You're even smarter than I am.
And if I don't, my
actually,
niece can do
I don't
it,
like
so.
Cooking that on date meals though. I've tried.
It's messy.
It's totally. A hindrance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You have flour all over the place.
Yeah. Flour, it does get messy.
Yeah. And your hair.
But maybe Gnocchi would be good to make on a date.
What is Gnocchi?
Gnocchi is sheep's. It's Gnocchi that doesn't actually have, I guess, potato in it. So it's usually like made with sheep's milk ricotta.
Why sheep's milk? You
because
can't
it's
use
super
cow.
Rich. I guess you could. I mean, I think just.
Well,
it's just tastier with sheep's milk because it's
peanut gallery says just ricotta is okay.
Just ricotta. You can do it with just ricotta.
But sheep's milk sounds a little tastier, right?
Well, yeah, okay. It's richer and it's a little bit grassier flavored. I saw this recipe recently where this chef basically he makes balls of the ricotta and then buries them in semolina flour overnight. And when he comes in the next day, they're already Gnocchi and then you just cook them and they're ready.
And how do you spell this Gnocchi?
Gnudi.
That sounds a little... suggestive.
Nutty, right?
Hey, would you like to come over for some Gnocchi?
Exactly.
Best date meal ever. Who would not say yes?
You make those with some chocolate powder in them and some chocolate Gnocchi.
Love is in the air.
All right, so these are some ideas I'm going to keep on the docket here for Valentine's Day. In the meantime, I'm definitely going to check out your next shows, Working Class Foodies. You have one coming up with Adam Roberts from...
The Amateur Gourmet.
You can watch the one where I plumage a knife unfairly into a can.
That can was asking for it.
Totally. It was.
Can was talking
it
back
deserved
to you.
It. Yeah.
Exactly.
And also, Kathleen, we have you know, your production All for Knots is still going
still
strong.
Still going on. Still, you can still watch episodes and go check out HungryNation.tv. We're going to have new shows on it soon.
Oh, really? Shows. Anything you can spill?
Tamara Davis Cooking Show, which is Tamara Davis is a music video director and commercial director who makes a cooking show out of her apartment in Soho. And she also happens to be married to Mike D from the Beastie Boys.
Okay.
So it's kind of awesome to watch Mike D help make lunches.
And their little kids.
And he's really nice. And she's really nice.
Dinner with the band's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the next guys who are up at, for Snacky Tunes, they produce a show called Dinner with the Band.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I'm all for music, food.
Yeah, she puts bands in the soundtrack. And you actually can go on YouTube now, and she already has about 45 episodes up, and you can check them out. And they're all vegetarian, and her.
Oh, she's a vegetarian?
Yeah, they're vegetarian.
It's a fun twist.
It's cool. Yeah.
A lot of bands are vegetarian, I've noticed.
Just I think it's probably better when you're on the road, right? Because otherwise you're stuck eating crap like McDonald's and Subway all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vegetarian, I think, maybe.
And if you're going to be on the road all the time anyway, you need something lighter.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll look forward to that, Kathleen. Awesome. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks
so much, Rebecca.
No, thanks.
And hopefully I'll see you guys again soon. And this is Let's Eat In. Thanks again to Nat Wiener and Jack Inslee in the sound booth. We'll be back next week. Thanks so much.
Hey, listeners, we're nearing the end of our 15th anniversary fundraising campaign, and we need your help to meet our goal. This campaign offers you a chance to win a unique food and music experience in one of the most exciting cities in America. Here's how it works. Donate to HRN, and you'll be entered to win dinner for two and two tickets to a concert in one of eight amazing cities: New York, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Nashville, Las Vegas, Charleston, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, and Asheville. All donations support our work educating food system storytellers. And when you donate, you can choose one of those cities and you'll be entered to win dinner and two tickets to a show. So help us reach our goal and enter to win dinner and a show in the city of your choice. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15. Thank you.